2 Samuel 4 through 6. Now when Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, his courage failed, and all Israel was horrified. And Saul's son had two men who were commanders of troops. The name of one was Bana, and the name of the other was Rechab, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, of the sons of Benjamin, for Beeroth is also considered part of Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gittaim, and have lived there as strangers until this day. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was disabled in both feet. He was 5 years old when the news of Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse picked him up and fled. But it happened that in her hurry to flee, he fell and could no longer walk. His name was Mephibosheth. So the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, Rechab and Bana, departed and came to the house of Ishbosheth in the heat of the day, while he was taking his midday rest. And they came to the interior of the house as if to get wheat, and they struck him in the belly, and Rechab and his brother Bana escaped. Now when they had come into the house, as he was lying on his bed in his bedroom, they struck him and killed him, and they beheaded him, and they took his head and traveled by way of the Arabah all night. Then they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron, and said to the king, "Behold, the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. So the Lord has given my lord the king vengeance this day on Saul and his descendants." But David replied to Rechab and his brother Bana, sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, and said to them, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, when the one who informed me, saying, 'Behold, Saul is dead,' also viewed himself as the bearer of good news, I seized him and killed him in Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more, when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house on his bed, shall I not now require his blood from your hands and eliminate you both from the earth?" Then David commanded the young men, and they killed them and cut off their hands and feet, and hung them up beside the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the grave of Abner in Hebron. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and in. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be a leader over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them before the Lord in Hebron. Then they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years. At Hebron he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned for 33 years over all Israel and Judah. Now the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. And they said to David, 'You shall not come in here, but even those who are blind and those who limp will turn you away,' thinking, 'David cannot enter here.' Nevertheless, David captured the stronghold of Zion, that is, the city of David. And David said on that day, 'Whoever strikes the Jebusites is to reach those who limp and those who are blind, who are hated by David's soul, through the water tunnel.' For that reason, they say, 'People who are blind and people who limp shall not come into the house.' So David lived in the stronghold, and called it the City of David. And David built all around, from Millo and inward. David became greater and greater, for the Lord God of armies was with him. Then Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David with cedar trees, carpenters, and stone masons, and they built a house for David. And David realized that the Lord had appointed him as king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. Meanwhile, David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem, after he came from Hebron, and more sons and daughters were born to David. Now these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet. Now when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek out David. And when David heard about it, he went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines came and overran the valley of Ephraim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly hand the Philistines over to you." Then David came to Baal Perazim, and defeated them there, and he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters." Therefore he named that place Baal Perazim, and the Philistines abandoned their idols there. So David and his men carried them away. Now the Philistines came up once again and overran the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, but he said, "You shall not go directly up. Circle around behind them, and come at them in front of the Baca shrubs. And it shall be, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the Baca shrubs, then you shall act promptly. For then the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines." Then David did so, just as the Lord had commanded him. He struck and killed the Philistines from Geba as far as Gezer. Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David departed from Baal Judah with all the people who were with him, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of armies, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They had mounted the Ark of God on a new cart and moved it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the Ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Ahio was walking ahead of the Ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of juniper wood, and with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the Ark of God and took hold of it, because the oxen nearly overturned it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the Ark of God. Then David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and that place has been called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the Ark of the Lord come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the Ark of the Lord into the city of David with him, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The Ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was reported to King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him, on account of the Ark of God." So David went and brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with joy. And so it was, that when those carrying the Ark of the Lord marched 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened steer. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his strength. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with joyful shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened, as the Ark of the Lord was coming into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down through the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she was contemptuous of him in her heart. Now they brought in the Ark of the Lord, and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of armies. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread, one of dates, and one of raisins to each one. Then all the people left, each to his house. But when David returned to bless his own household, Michal the son of Saul came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel dignified himself today, for he exposed himself today in the sight of his servants, female slaves, as one of the rabble shamelessly exposes himself. But David said to Michal, I was before the Lord, who preferred me to your father and to all his house, to appoint me as ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. So I will celebrate before the Lord. And I might demean myself even more than this and be lowly in my own sight. But with the female slaves of whom you have spoken, with them I am to be held in honor. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Luke 8. Soon afterward, Jesus began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Now, when a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and when it came up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And yet other seed fell into the good soil, and grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as much. As he said these things, he would call out, "The one who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now his disciples began asking him what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest they are told in parables, so that while seeing they may not see, and while hearing they may not understand. Now this is the parable. The seed is the word of God, and those beside the road are the ones who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and yet these do not have firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked by worries, riches, and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with a good and virtuous heart, and hold it firmly, and produce fruit with perseverance. Now, no one lights a lamp and covers it over with a container, or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on the lampstand, so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is concealed that will not become evident, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. So take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Now his mother and his brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. And it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." Now on one of those days, Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they launched out, but as they were sailing along, he fell asleep, and a fierce gale of wind descended on the lake, and they began to be swamped and to be in danger. They came up to Jesus and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he got up and rebuked the wind and surging waves, and they stopped, and it became calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" But they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out onto the land, a man from the city met him who was possessed with demons, and he had not put on clothing for a long time, and was not living in a house, but among the tombs. And seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and said with a loud voice, "What business do you have with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had already commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break the restraints and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him, and they were begging him not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many pigs feeding there on the mountain, and the demons begged him to permit them to enter the pigs, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Now when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported everything in the city and in the country, and the people came out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen everything reported to them how the man who had been demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the territory of the Gerasenes and the surrounding region asked him to leave them, because they were overwhelmed by great fear. And he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home, and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city what great things Jesus had done for him. And as Jesus was returning, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And a man named Jairus came, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at his feet, and began urging him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him, and a woman who had suffered a chronic flow of blood for 12 years, and could not be healed by anyone, came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. And immediately her bleeding stopped. And Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" And while they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had left me." Now when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him, and admitted in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher any more." But when Jesus heard this, he responded to him, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James, and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and spoke forcefully, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he ordered that something be given her to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. James 5. Come now, you rich people, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have corroded, and their corrosion will serve as a testimony against you, and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, and which has been withheld by you, cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of armies. You have lived for pleasure on the earth and lived luxuriously. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous person. He offers you no resistance. Therefore, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brothers and sisters, against one another, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brothers and sisters, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath. But your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you do not fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you strays from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that the one who has turned a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Proverbs 19:1-9. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than a person who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and one who hurries his footsteps errs. The foolishness of a person ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth adds many friends, but a poor person is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who declares lies will not escape. Many will seek the favor of a generous person, and every person is a friend to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor person hate him. How much more do his friends abandon him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. One who gets wisdom loves his own soul, and one who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and one who declares lies will perish. Psalm 119:33-48. Teach me the way of your statutes, Lord, and I shall comply with it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may comply with your law, and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to dishonest gain. Turn my eyes away from looking at what is worthless, and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant, as that which produces reverence for you. Take away my disgrace which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me through your righteousness. May your favor also come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your word, so that I will have an answer for one who taunts me. For I trust in your word, and do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. For I wait for your judgments, So I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be ashamed. I will delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes.